This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And on this 27th day of February, WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins, hi guys.
Morning, T. Hey. How's it going?
It's going okay.
Figure we better turn our microphones
on. Yeah, that always helps.
Would help for a radio program.
Those darn on switches, you know.
That's right. What does it mean?
Yes.
Well, boys, regional championship.
I shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you should.
Boys, championship night last night, of course, for the 1A and 2A regionals. And all of our WSMI area teams have bowed out of the postseason as Nokomis fell last night to St. Anthony and Pawnee beat Lincolnwood. So
for the third time this season.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. So, and that means, I guess, we'll get ready for baseball.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
We'll have the Cardinals on the air in a week, right?
In a week. A week from today on AM 1540 and 106.9 FM, we'll have all 162 Cardinals games this year on AM 1540 and or 106.9 FM. So
I think high school baseball practice officially starts this coming week,
yeah.
I do believe.
Yeah. I bet a few of them have been throwing.
I think there's probably a pretty good bet to that.
Yeah. I think the season starts officially, the 14th of March? So
usually around that time. Yeah,
that's the first day that you could have a game.
There won't be a game.
Oh, yeah, I've done the schedules already, the master schedules. There's some games already scheduled on the 14th.
They're scheduled. They won't be played, is what I'm saying. The weather won't allow them to be played.
Early in March they do, and then all of a sudden the weather turns bad for 2 weeks, and then it gets nice for a day or two, and they play a couple games, and then they go for 2 weeks without playing again. So
hey, it's one of the nice things about basketball. You don't have to sit out in the elements. You don't have to play in the elements. You get to just enjoy the effects of nice gymnasiums.
Playing in the elements, do you realize that some of the early Olympic basketball games were played outdoors? And I remember seeing a film of a championship game and being played in a pouring down rain.
That's
played
awful.
On an outdoor court.
Remember a few years ago, college basketball played a couple of games on aircraft carriers, and it did not go well, and they haven't done it since.
No, they haven't.
Turns out that was a bad idea.
Well, you know, that moisture thing, you know, you're on a boat, on an ocean, and there's going to be some humidity there. So, floors are hard enough to keep dry. And
Well, I think it was earlier this year, there was a game over in Japan on a military base, and they had to stop that game at halftime, because the floor was all slick.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think it was on an aircraft carrier. But it was on a military base, I'm pretty sure.
The aircraft carrier thing was always kind of goofy to me.
Yeah.
I think it's neat to have it once, ever. Because, they had this game outdoors on a military base, and then just never have it again.
Right. I think there was a guy who shot the ball, and a gust came, and it took a hard left turn and wound up being an air ball. Like, oh, no.
Put a dome over it. A little, these inflatable domes. You could do that.
Could be done.
Yeah.
They got money.
They spend $400 for a screwdriver. What the heck? Can't you find an inflatable dome?
Just money.
Yeah.
Just money.
It's also probably something to reward the troops, who are on those aircraft
carriers.
Yeah. They'd much more would rather enjoy getting off the aircraft carrier to go watch the ball game than being on the aircraft carrier to stuck there and to watch the ball game. Commander, can I leave? No, I'm sorry. You have to stay and watch.
It's only halftime.
That's right.
You will stay.
You're going to be operating the popcorn machine the second half. So.
Anybody get motion sickness? You can't sit out. Got to play.
Well, they were anchored. Yeah, I don't think they had motion sickness to
worry about. I hope not. That would be a whole different element. Play the game while the ship's en route.
Here you go. It's just like a Poseidon adventure. You're taking a shot, and now the ship turns over. Oh, my God.
It'd be a lot of moisture on the floor for a different reason.
I see, Wes Craven passed away, didn't he?
So he did.
I guess we can't do that kind of goofy show. That was actually an Irwin Allen production, with the Poseidon Adventure, the original. So, the Master of Disaster.
Apollo Creed?
No.
Oh.
No, the movie maker.
Oh.
Irwin Allen used to do all these disaster shows.
You got enough nicknames? Almost through, Stallion.
Yeah.
Almost through.
What a great character. It's too bad I thought at the time when they killed off Apollo Creed, it was terrible.
Oh, I mean,
what a great character, great actor.
As a kid, it almost brought me to tears when Apollo died, what a great, to me, outside of the original Rocky, which, it won an Oscar.
Have you seen Creed?
I have not yet. It's on my list.
Yeah.
It's on my list. It's gotten really good reviews. But to me, Rocky IV is the second best Rocky movie behind the original. I love Rocky IV.
Russian.
Must break you. Good stuff.
You will die.
There was I could quote that entire movie at one point.
And Dolph Lundgren is
if you've ever seen this guy on a talk show, absolutely hilarious. The guy's a scream.
Is he?
Oh yeah.
I only know him as Drago. I don't.
Oh
know,
no, no.
I've never seen any of his other ones.
I've seen him a lot of times. He's been in a lot of stuff, and I've seen him on some talk shows before. He's a hoot.
He was in the Expendables franchise.
So I did not see that.
I didn't either, but I know that because everyone who has ever been, you know, an action person has been in those movies.
I think he said something to the effect, "I'm glad I didn't have much dialogue because my Russian accent sucked."
Yeah, he did not have many lines in the movie. Not many lines in the movie.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to transition away from all of that.
Let's go back to high school.
Get back on track here.
Subject in 60 seconds.
All right.
The 1A, 2A girls state finals are tonight, and the 1A championship game is a rematch of last year, Calhoun taking on Central A&M, and we didn't do the research because the R&D department was a little lax.
I didn't know about it until today.
Details, David.
Ago.
Details.
I don't think we informed Dave until about 2 minutes before the show.
So what? Anyway, we kid, David. But a rematch in the state championship game is a rarity.
I would think so. Yeah, I don't remember rematches at all.
You think about just one team repeating as champion, how hard that is to do. And for both teams from last year's title game to navigate their way through this year's field, very impressive. And Central A&M got past Indian Creek yesterday, and Central A&M, they were in big trouble, down 11 in the first half of that ball game. They won 34-31, and then Calhoun really had no trouble with South Holland Seton Academy, 58-42 the final.
But see, in the second half of that Central A&M game, they went to Micah Maples, who tends to stir the pot for Central A&M, and she, when she gets the basketball, bodies go flying, and she takes the ball to the hole. She's very good at doing that. So,
and I don't think there's any real debate or question that these are the two best teams in Class 1A throughout the entirety of the season.
From start to finish, they were the best. And I think, and it doesn't always work out that two teams who deserve to be in the championship get to the championship, but these two deserve to have a rematch. So,
absolutely. Yeah. There's no better way for the 1A girls basketball season to end than Calhoun and Central A&M squaring off. And we've talked about it before. It's so rare for the top team in the, you know, the final state rankings to actually make it to the tournament. For the top two teams to both make it and to be a rematch of last year's title game, it's going to be a heck of a ball game. And I know I've heard the Calhoun coach Ballman talking about how he just feels his kids, they're different this year. Yeah. They're a little bit more relaxed, having been on the stage year prior. Because, of course, Central A&M, this is their third straight year at state. The first year they were there, I think they lost in the semifinal and ended up in the third place game. But you can't replicate being on that stage, playing on that floor, in that environment.
And the discussion comes up every once in a while about super sectionals. And some of these teams that play super sectional games on a high school length floor, I think, are at a huge disadvantage when they step out on the college floor at ISU or at the Civic Center in Peoria.
I love the Jacksonville Bowl. It's one of the best atmospheres.
But it should not be a site for a super sectional.
I've always thought that the team that plays, that wins the super at the Jacksonville Bowl, has a slight disadvantage for that reason.
But this year they went to Illinois College. Yeah. So they did have a college-sized floor.
But you know, if you're talking about great high school venues around the state, the Jacksonville Bowl is in the conversation. And it always makes for a great atmosphere, but it's not a college floor.
No, should be a college floor. I just think super sectional should be played at a college floor. Just my own opinion.
Well, you know this. Back in the day, the two-class system, the super sectional was considered state.
Yeah. Because
you made the state program.
Yeah, that was a Sweet 16 back then.
That's right.
Yeah. And they were all on college floors, I believe, back then. So, and that made it kind of special because you got to go to a venue that was a college venue and, you know, Eastern Illinois or Millikan University or whatever. And it was
that's the experience. The little amenities, college locker room, different stuff.
You know, huge crowd, you know, deafening crowd. That's what made it great. So
that's right. So Calhoun and Central A&M for the 1A title. The 2A girls
championship.
And guess
who's in the 2A championship?
Some little outfit called Totopolis.
T-Town.
The Lady Shoes will be taking on Byron. Byron beat Camp Point Central, who, of course, ended Hillsborough season in the Beardstown sectional. Byron 55, Camp Point 31. And Camp Point had been hot. They had well over, I think, a 20-game winning streak.
And I saw the last part of that game last night when I got home. And Byron, they were hitting things. They were hitting shots.
When you're hitting, it's still a shot-maker's game.
Is,
you know, play all the defense you want, but if you're not making shots, you're not going to win.
And Camp Point Central couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So
interesting.
Yeah.
T-Town got past Westchester St. Joe's 45-43. So in both the 1A and the 2A, the first semifinal outstanding down to the wire, and the second semifinal a bit of a runaway. So that'll be an interesting game with T-Town and Byron
and
tonight for the 2A title.
T-Town, what, it's about an 8:15 game for the championship in 2A?
I think that's what they say. It's what it says.
Okay.
6:30 start for the third place game.
Yeah, 8:15 will never happen. But
and the 1A title game is supposed to start at 1:45, but the Calhoun game was supposed to start at 1:45 yesterday, and it was not 1:45.
And then usually they do the three-point shootouts prior to the championship game. So
those are done. Those happened yesterday.
Did they do those yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did those yesterday between games.
Okay. That's good.
But they'll have the third place and fourth place trophy presentations at halftime of the championship game. Yeah, because they have nothing between the two games. Get the title game started.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the neat thing. We always talk about the postseason tournament being a single elimination, unless you advance far enough in which you earn that second game. So even though the teams that lost yesterday, you still played well enough and advanced deep enough to get that extra ball game.
Yeah. And then that's the thing about going to a Final Four.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed a trophy. You're going to come home with some hardware, which is kind of neat.
I wish the NCAA still had
a third place game. Yeah. Third place game, I'd watch it.
As would I. It would make money.
Yeah.
You don't think people would have liked to watch Kentucky play one more game last year?
Yeah. That's right.
This year, I think the NCAA championship game is on TBS.
I think that is correct.
It's not on CBS network TV. It's on TBS.
I dig it, though, the way that they've done it with all the games on television
That's
live.
Pretty neat.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you used to have to, CBS was the only channel that carried it, so you're at the mercy of, you know, whatever region you're in and whatever game the network decides to show
and,
you.
And live look-ins just didn't do it.
No, just didn't do it.
Not at all.
You know. Hey, this game is close. Let's go watch that one, you know?
Yeah, I remember being a traditionalist about it thinking, no, I like the way that it is. Then after the first about, it didn't even take the full year. Yeah. After the first day, it was like, oh, yeah,
this is much better. I think the only problem really they had with that system was True TV was not on a lot of the cable systems.
Like, what is that?
Yeah. True TV?
That's where I
You know, the only time I've ever watched True TV is during basketball
tournament
time. I've never watched it for any other programming.
You're not really missing much.
I think that used to be Court TV.
It did. Court.
Oh, is that what it used
I think
to be?
So.
Oh, okay.
And like True Crime and then just True. So, yeah. It has a lot of those.
Between the Murder and Mayhem shows and the Judge shows on TV, I'm telling you.
It's a lot of the programming.
It currently has a lot of those.
There's a lot of sewage running in that ditch.
Top 10 stupidest criminals of all time shows.
Speaking of sewage running in a ditch, the Illini, my goodness, the other night against Indiana. Only Illinois could go from a 1-point halftime lead to a 30-point loss.
They had a lead in that game?
Oh, they were winning at halftime.
Yeah. And actually played pretty well in the first half.
And I think Yogi Ferrell scored as many points by himself as Illinois did in the second half.
Yeah, he was just unconscious.
He's killed the Illini in his career.
Yeah. Well, that's what? Two losses by close to 60 points against Indiana this year.
Yeah.
And that's when you're John Gross.
74-47 was the final.
Yeah, when you're John Gross and trying to make an impression to keep your job, that's not good.
No.
That's not good.
And you can say all you want about injuries, but
you got to finish games.
And I'm not saying that you're going to necessarily win the game, but, boy, they just look like they didn't care.
You can't get outscored 47-19 in the second half on your home floor against your rival.
Yeah.
Cannot happen.
Well, plus.
But it did.
It was either, this week or last week, LaRon Black got arrested for pulling a knife on a bouncer.
Oh, that's so nice.
That shows some reflection on the coach, I think, too.
That's beautiful.
Well, when they hired the new AD, he came in and his statement was, we will give these players all the resources they need to become winners, a.k.a., in other words,
there's code in there.
Coaches are going to be fired. We're going to hire who we need to hire. Well, we'll see.
Good luck with
that. In the past, Illinois has not done that.
No.
It's too late for the football program.
They're not going to make a hire up over John Gross. They may make a lateral hire if they decide to get rid of John Gross.
You want somebody that's going to be able to recruit anywhere and keep kids in the state? You're going to have to pay out the nose. And that's going to be a little tough.
Well, you know, the basketball program now for Illinois has slipped down enough to where Illinois might have to recalibrate and realize, okay, we're not maybe as elite as we think we are.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's been the problem that's plagued the football program for years.
No doubt.
Oh, you know, look at the Dick Butkus, the Red Grain. That was, 50 years ago and 100 years ago, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, when you're clinging to the Grey Ghost, oof.
Come on.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's problematic.
And, you know, I'd like to see the namesake for the state of Illinois do very well. But you know, under the current system, they've got to be able to recruit in the state.
Hey, firing ADs every 5 or 6 years and then firing football coaches and basketball coaches every 3 to 4 years, that's not a model for success.
How many Simeon kids end up playing elsewhere, Tim?
Yeah. Well, the greatest ones don't go to Illinois.
They don't go to Illinois, do they?
They don't.
No.
Never have.
No. And you can't help but wonder, if not for that Peoria pipeline that was so rich through the 90s, this might have happened earlier.
Sure, sure. That's why Wayne McClain says, I ought to come back and be the coach.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know.
The Flying Illini are a long time ago.
Long time ago in a galaxy far away.
Wayne McClain, what a true great. I mean, think about it. What a tragic passing, way too early. But that man, think about what he did.
Yeah.
Forget about what he did at Peoria Manual, then at Illinois, then went to Kansas State with Bruce Weber for a few years. He came back. Where was he coaching at? Where they were terrible.
Champagne,
he takes over for 1 year. Centennial?
I think, yeah.
But his first year, he gets them all the way to the Super Sectional.
Yeah, yeah.
That man could coach.
He could coach.
My goodness.
Some guys are like that.
Absolutely. We need a break. We'll come back with more in a moment.
And the Fighting Illini hit the airwaves tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock as they play host to Minnesota. That's a game they might be able to pull out a win.
Maybe. Where is it at Minnesota?
It's at Illinois.
Okay, they got a chance then.
They got a shot there.
Got a chance.
And a week from today, Cardinals baseball on WSMI AM 1540 and 106.9 FM as the Cardinals will play, you know, a host of, I think they play Temple, don't they? I think it's Miami they play next Saturday.
They play Temple sometime.
Oh, they play some college teams, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of the major league teams do.
And they'll play the Marlins six times.
Yeah.
At least.
In March.
The first week.
Seems like the Marlins, they play all the time.
Probably because of the share facilities.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy. Yeah.
Which I think that's why, with the exception of last year, they've always struggled with the Marlins in the regular season because, you know, they see them so much during spring training and they share a facility with them. I think the Marlins, I don't know, they take something away from it.
Well, I agree with you totally. And I think that maybe is a built-in advantage that the Cardinals have that no one really thinks about. Every other team in their division is in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They all play each other. Mm-hmm. No one sees the Cardinals, you know. So all these great young players they have, the division doesn't see them in spring training. Normally you see a team's young prospects 3 or 4 years before they ever get to the major leagues in spring training when they're wearing number 97.
Yeah.
You know, the Brewers, Reds,
are
Cubs.
The Pirates in Arizona?
I don't think they're in Florida.
I don't know.
The Cardinals don't play them in spring training. I know that much.
Right.
They used to be in Brighton, but they...
Yeah, I think they moved. I mean, the Cardinals and Pirates don't play in spring training.
Yeah.
They don't play any division teams in spring training. And that has to help them.
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, you know, they never saw Carlos Martinez in spring training. First time you see him was on the big league mound.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the Marlins. Yeah, sometimes they have success against the Cardinals. They see him all the time in spring training. Familiarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought.
I think there's something to it.
Cubby's got Dexter Fowler back.
Yeah. And Shane Victorino.
Hey, that would have been good 7 years
ago. Yeah. Well, it's a depth move.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a minor league deal. It's nothing.
Clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I sarcastically called the Cubs the 27 Yankees, but I say it because they're good. I mean,
they are building a really good team.
You look at their lineup, and it is of, you know, 27 Yankees type of stuff. You know, no Ruth Gehrig stuff. But, I mean, you start looking at Bryant, Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Hayward, Soler, Schwarber. Where are the outs?
Well, and
where are the outs?
And that's what pitchers are going to be struggling with.
And now that they've stockpiled a bench to where they don't have to have a set lineup every day, they can switch guys in and out of the lineup every day
and
it'll work.
You know, and that's an advantage the Cubs will have if most of them stay healthy this year and they're able to use their bench freely when they want to, not when they have to. Yeah. That'd be a huge advantage for the Cubs.
And with Fowler coming back, that slides Hayward over to right field. Yep. He doesn't have to bat leadoff now. I mean, that is a huge, huge get for the Cubbies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have what, Soler, Hayward, Fowler, Victorino now, who's in the mix.
Schwarber, and
even Zobrist, who can all play. That's six guys who can rotate three spots in the outfield. Yeah. Well, I mean, some of those can't play center, but still. And then you have Schwarber, Zobrist, and Rizzo, who can fill time at first base.
Well, and you know how Joe Madden is. We saw Bryant play the outfield last year.
Yeah, he could play the outfield
as well.
I mean,
if you play for the Cubs, you better have an infield mitt, an outfield mitt, maybe a catcher's mitt.
Bryant
or have a good friend that you can borrow one from.
Bryant is going to end up in the outfield sooner rather than later. I mean, because he's never been a great defensive third baseman. Plus, they have other infielders in their system to where I think Bryant's going to get pushed to the outfield.
That could eventually be a problem for the Cubs. Everybody can't play left field.
Plus, they've got one of the best shortstops.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That guy can pick him.
Yeah. And he might wind up being the best of all these young Cubs players. Addison Russell.
He's just got to be able to stay healthy.
He is. He is. Something else.
Health might be his problem.
Yeah.
And that's what it all comes down to, health.
Mm-hmm.
Each given year, what the Cardinals did last year with the injuries, that's an outlier. That's not. That doesn't happen.
But look what happened in the playoffs.
Look what happened.
Yeah.
It caught up to them.
It just caught up to them.
But you can't expect to have those types of injuries and win the type of games they won last year. And for the Cubs, really, the Cardinals are going to be there, but the Cubs should win the division. If they stay healthy, they really shouldn't be challenged that much. That much. Not that they're going to win by 20 games.
I think the Central is going to be a very good division again.
Very good division.
And there'll be a lot of wins between the top three teams, but the Cubs are the odds on favorite.
Yeah, I mean, they're heads and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, they're just good.
Yeah.
That's good. All there is to it.
It'll be interesting to see how their bullpen holds up. That's going to be the one question.
That's the one question for every team in Major League Baseball.
This is true.
And see, right now, the Cubbies are built more, I would say, for the 162 than the postseason push. Like, we saw it last year. The Mets are built for October with that pitching.
Right now.
And we've seen over the years, though, how many times did the Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, have that big old offense, and then you get into the playoffs and you get shut down. Good pitching always beats good hitting, and you're going to face nothing but good pitching in the playoffs. And that's the reality for the Cubs. Yeah. They can win 125 games this year. And if they don't win the World Series, it's a failure.
Yeah.
That is a different mentality and a different mindset to have for a baseball season. And Joe Maddon's probably the perfect guy for it.
Yeah.
You know, you can have all the distractionary tricks you want, but you're getting everybody's best shot this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be different. Lots of pressure.
When teams play the Cubs, that's the game they've circled on the calendar.
Teams are going to set their pitching up to face the Cubs, make sure they've got their top guys going against them. We'll see. You know, the Cardinals have been the hunted for a long, long time. They're going to relish being the huntee.
Yeah. I think so. And there have been years when the Cardinals' expectations have been low that they've been able to surprise some people. So.
Yeah. I would expect the Cubs to probably honestly dominate the season series with the Cardinals this year. And however, if they get into the playoffs,
Cubs
it would go
dominate
the other way
the
around.
Cardinals. What are you talking about?
I say that because the Cubs now know that they can beat the Cardinals. So, I mean, last year they struggled against the Cardinals because I think the Cardinals started out 8-2 against them in the season series. And then the Cubs won basically every other game after that. But now that the Cubs know they can beat the Cardinals when it matters, they might roll through the regular season. But when the postseason comes around, should they match up, could be a different story.
I haven't seen the regular season schedule, but I wonder if they're wrapped up by, July.
I hope not.
I hope there are games down the street.
Well, we know
there's no weekend games in St. Louis.
No weekend games in St. Louis.
Which is ludicrous.
Oh, yeah.
Who did that? Who's responsible
for that? That's
computer. Major League Baseball.
Stupid computer.
Binary.
That's also why Albert Pujols isn't coming to St. Louis this year when it's the Angels' turn.
Yeah, yeah.
It was their turn to come to St. Louis, and they're going back to L.A. Cardinals are.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
It's very disappointing because now the soonest that Albert can come to St. Louis on the schedule is 2019, and who knows if he'll still be playing by then.
He'll be making $30 million by then if he's still playing.
Or he'll be on his
backloaded deal.
He'll be on the start of his 10-year personal services contract.
The dreaded personal services contract. Yes.
A.K.A. he gets to carry Mike Trout's luggage.
I bet he doesn't.
If anybody's carrying luggage, Trout's carrying his luggage. Yeah. Look at these. I got more MVPs than you and a couple of these rings here.
That's right. That's right.
Get the bag.
Hey, Trout, pick up my bag, would you? It's going into that big car over there, okay?
We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll switch gears and start talking boys regional championships from last night. We'll do that following these messages.
Well, the beginnings of March Madness are here in February. And unfortunately, a lot of our local teams have bowed out of the postseason race in Class 1A and 2A. But nonetheless, it's still March Madness time in Illinois.
Absolutely. The original.
The original March Madness. That's the trademarked thing that they're allowed to say.
Yeah, they can't say March Madness anymore.
Well, I say March Madness because...
It's March Madness.
Yeah. I've been alive longer than they've had the trademarked March Madness thing for
You're grandfathered
NCAA.
In?
I'm grandfathered in.
You're like the hockey player not wearing the mask?
There you go. There you go. If I want to call it March Madness, by gosh, I'm calling it March Madness.
That's what it is.
That's right.
That's what it is. Last night in 2A regional final
so
play.
So sue me. Sue me. Go ahead.
Okay.
Me.
Hold on. Yeah. We need more litigation in this country. That's right. What we're missing.
That's
more
right.
litigation.
That's all we're missing.
Yes.
That's right.
And we need more frivolous lawsuits. At Greenville last night, the Nashville Hornets ended the season of the Greenville Comets 72-56. Impressive win for Nashville as they had gone to Greenville late in the regular year and won by just 3 points. So, and they were in control basically the entire way last night.
Nashville, one of those programs that you just never count out.
And I tell you what, the Hilltoppers gave them a battle on Thursday night, I guess, in the regional semifinal. I mean, they were so outsized with 6'7 and 6'6 on Nashville, but Fenske and Civitate, they didn't back down one bit, and you knew they wouldn't.
Yeah.
You knew they wouldn't. But, I mean, they took it right to Nashville, and if the Toppers could have just made a few more shots, they would have been right there at the end.
Yeah. Great game, though.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It really was. So congratulations to Nashville. They are on to the Pinckneyville sectional. Pleasant Plains won their regional last night. They defeated Auburn 65-55. And what I thought was a halftime score when I saw it, Williamsville beat Porta 33-30.
No, that was the final.
It was 13-11 at halftime.
Yeah.
That was, I think, revenge for last year, because I think Porta beat Williamsville in the regional final last year. I think.
That's our R&D department right there.
Right there.
I'm going to
trust
it.
Well, it's not official. I haven't clarified it. So.
At Dupo last night, in overtime, Marquette defeated Roxana 48-45. So the Shells denied a second consecutive regional championship. At Georgetown Ridge Farm, Warrensburg Latham beat Westville 71-46. Warrensburg's just kind of been rolling along all year, steady as she goes.
The Cardinals, I mean, they're. Don't be surprised if you see them make a deep run.
Have they lost yet?
Oh, yeah.
They're not undefeated, but they don't have many losses.
They don't have many. And they've played pretty good competition.
Absolutely. Athens, a powerful squad again this year. They beat Farmington 57-44 to win their regional and first regional championships since 1994 for the Athens boys.
Hmm. Has it been that long?
That's what it
said.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what it said.
How about that for the Sangamo, then? Three regional champions.
Not surprising.
And they're all going to Beardstown. All going to Beardstown.
Maybe they could share a ride.
You think about the girls' Beardstown sectional, all the power over there. Now the boys' sectional going over to Beardstown. That's some good sectional basketball.
Good play. And good venue, too.
Great venue for it. Great venue for it. Monticello beat Decatur St. Teresa last night 78-62 to claim the Argenta Orienta regional championship. At Sparta last night, Pinckneyville over Campbell Hill Trico 59-49. Bree Central won the Trenton Westglen regional over Carlisle 56-41. Central got past Southwestern in the regional semifinal. That game was tied at halftime between Southwestern and Bree Central.
Yeah. Wow.
Carlisle, wasn't that an upset over Westglen? Didn't they upset Westglen? Or
yes.
Was Carlisle the better seed?
Westglen was the number two seed in that regional.
Yeah.
So upset?
They got their first round bye.
Yeah, true road game for them, too. Yeah. So.
No upset at T-Town last night. The Wooden Shoes beat Marshall 58-50. And, you know, even with – what did T-Town do last night? They're hosting a regional final, and their girls are playing in the state semifinals.
Yeah. It's not the first time they had to split the crowd.
They know what to do.
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, when I think of, like, the best student sections in the state, T-Town comes to the forefront of my mind. So I just wonder how they handled that. What takes precedent? Like, do they draw – are you drawing – straws, see who goes to the boys game, who goes to state. How does that work out?
I don't know.
It's a problem really only T-Town probably ever had.
Well, remember that.
Well, that's good. I don't know that they call it a problem.
True.
It's a choice.
their boys team is under a new head coach this year. Because last year the head coach, I think he got fired or forced to resign.
There were some.
Even though he had like an 800 winning percentage.
Well, not you good enough at T-Town.
You haven't won enough titles.
It's like, let me on the bus. No. You are walking home.
I don't think you stayed unemployed for long.
No.
No.
So the Wooden Shoes, regional champs once again. Shocking.
And I think the T-Town, was it the boys or girls junior high teams won both the 7th and 8th grade tournament this year? Maybe in both. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Something in the water. In Class 1A last night at Bunker Hill, Waterloo Jabot knocked off Metro East Lutheran 42-38.
I'm kind of surprised about that.
Metro had beat them two times already this year.
Well, you know, Things tend to even out.
I was surprised by that one as well, but not overly surprised because Waterloo Jabot is a very powerful good, squad. But yeah. Metro East had been state ranked all year long.
Metro East was a good team.
They were
fun team to watch. Yeah.
And I guarantee when those regional seedings and pairings came out, they thought, Waterloo in the regional final, that's not what we wanted to see. Because it's just hard to beat a good team three times. It just is.
Yeah. Well, and then Altamont lost last night. That was the overall number one seed in the sectional complex where the Nokomis regional was located. They lost to Patoka by 2 points last night. So 65-63, I think, was the final
there. St. Elmo.
St. Elmo. So that was, Altamont was the number one seed, the overall seed in that sectional complex. So
at Nokomis last night, I guess it would be an upset seed-wise, as Nokomis was the 2, St. Anthony was the 3, and it was on the Skins' home floor. St. Anthony shot the lights out 55-38. They made 9 threes in the ballgame. And that, the corners, they shot the corners at such a high percentage last night. And you know the vantage point we have at that broadcast position at Nokomis team. When they were shooting that corner, just as soon as it left their hand, I could tell, that's in.
That's in.
Goodness, that's in. Just one of those nights. And
like, open your eyes next time and watch it go in.
Well, they were wide open. I mean, they were good looks, and it was because of the ball movement. I mean, they were skipping it across the 1-2-2 zone and getting good looks, and just hats off to St. Anthony. They handled the pressure, moved the ball well, and shot the lights out. Yeah. You do those three things against Nokomis or anybody,
you're going to win. Have a pretty good chance at winning.
Yep. Another 21 season for Nokomis, though.
Yeah.
24 of them under Steve Kimbrough.
How about that? And Pawnee beat Lincolnwood last night. So Pawnee wins 3 out of the 4 matchups this year against the Lancers. Lancers finished their season at 20-11.
Yeah, they did get 20 wins as well. So
play them 4 times
but
in a year.
Lincolnwood had a 5-point lead at the half, and then Pawnee just turned it on the second half. And
Pawnee was a 6 seed in the subsection.
So Galloway and Eckert, had great second halves for the Indians.
At Greenfield last night, Carrollton beat Franklin South County 45-38. Oakville beat host Lebanon 65-35 to claim that regional championship.
That's who Pawnee gets on Wednesday night.
Oakville?
Oakville.
Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, they went to the Super last year and lost, remember? Oakville did.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Rockets.
Yep.
Woodlawn beat Stillville at Marion Crab Orchard 69-27. And let's see, anything else of local interest?
That's probably about it.
That's about it.
I did just confirm it. Porta did beat Williamsville last year in the regional championship at Manito.
Manito Midwest too. Central.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
Or that.
Yeah.
Either way.
So Williamsville, they did get their revenge this year.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, Williamsville is one of those teams. They're always going to be pretty good.
Doesn't make any difference what the record is.
No matter the sport. Yeah, be ready.
Oh, and this is bad because the young lady's name escapes me, and I cannot remember. But a young lady from Greenfield got second place in the 3-point shootout yesterday.
Oh, really?
A 10 out of 15.
Wow.
The winner had 11, and her last shot, her 15th shot, rimmed out.
Ooh.
Would have been for a tie.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Shooting on the big stage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Yeah. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
And coming up a week from today, St. Louis Cardinals exhibition baseball on AM 1540 and the new 106.9 FM. And we'll have exhibition games every Saturday and Sunday during the month of March, and then it starts for real. And every game on AM 1540 and or 106.9 FM.
And again, the Cardinals, just like last year, will play the first game of the Major League season in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, they did that a few years ago. What, 2012? They opened up the Miami ballpark.
Now that's true. So
they've played the first game on the docket here.
Sure.
And always on the road. When's the last time the Cardinals opened the season at home?
2011. When they won the World Series, because they blew a lead. Ryan Franklin blew the save, and they lost to the Padres, lost 2 of 3 in that series.
Oh, that's right. That's where the great Tony La Russa quote came. It's the first week of the season.
Yeah. Did we get wrapped up with all the basketball stuff?
I think so. David made a good comment in the break.
Yeah, congratulations to Southwestern's Maddie Greeling on being named to the first, or the 1A.
No, 2A.
2A. First team All-State. I would get it eventually.
AP?
Right. AP. Yeah. First Southwestern player ever to be first team All-State.
One of the all-time great players I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. I mean, I've been working here. Just absolutely terrific.
Yep.
What a ball player.
Sammy Matouche and Carly Cameron from Hillsboro were 2A honorable mentions, and Jill Niehaus from Mount Olive was a 1A honorable mention. So
You could do a put together a pretty good team with those kids.
Yeah, you could.
That would work.
Yeah.
That would work. Think about the one-on-one tournament that historically could be held with girls basketball players from around the area. Yeah.
Technically, you would have to find
the bloodbath that would go on.
Oh, man.
You would have to have one more body.
Oh. You would.
Yeah. But it could just be anybody.
Maddie Gruen was just nothing short of sensational all 4 years of high school. And, I mean, she was hyped and pressed coming in to high school. Like, it wasn't a surprise. Like, oh, who's this? Like, when she was in junior high, you heard the name Maddie Grillin. You heard the name, and
she was one of the ball players, Tim, I think, who was as consistent as anybody for 4 years in high school.
Just so steady. You're exactly right. And of all the things that she did extremely well, her consistency might have been her best attribute.
Absolutely.
Just steady as a rock.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, didn't panic. Just was from the get go at the high school level was under control. Was it the floor general? So
yeah, even as a true freshman, or I guess there's no other type of freshman in high school.
Well, as a freshman and
starting varsity for a team like Southwestern, that's not easy to do.
No, not at all. But not at all. And we wish Maddie the very best. So a lot of seniors play their final games here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've said goodbye to a lot of good ball players in the WSMI listening
area this year. Terrific athletes, for basketball. Now they turn their attention to spring sports.
That's right. You know, of course, for the Hillsboro boys, they've basically got everybody coming back.
They do have everybody coming back. Oh, yeah. I talked to Joe at the Litchfield Invitational, and he said, I was like, you virtually have everybody coming back. It's not virtually. They've got everybody
coming
back.
In terms of minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have a senior on the roster anymore.
Yeah, they're going to be tough next year.
It's going to be we got to play these guys?
And I believe Hillsboro's back in the Carlinville Holiday Tournament next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that'll be good.
Terrific addition.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They got a good shot at winning it.
Well, you know.
Going in.
It might be a little
right
early
now.
That might be the way too early prediction of the year.
Is it too early?
We don't want Darren Deneve calling in saying, hey, now you're overhyping things.
Darren, you really need to get on the seating for next year's tournament. What are you doing, man?
What is
Come
this?
On. Let's go. Come on.
Hey, don't we have Pi Day coming up here?
Yep.
Speaking of Darren,
I know it's not on a Saturday.
It's
going to
be on
a Monday,
but it's not the great
pie
like it was last year.
Yeah,
the once in a lifetime pie.
Once in a lifetime pie. Yeah.
Or once that's every. Right. That's right.
When you extended it out.
314159 26
Yeah.
That won't happen in our lifetime again.
No. You have to wait around for a while. You got what? Haley's Comet will probably come around again before that happens.
100 more years.
Or probably two or three times.
Yeah, you're right. How often was it?
86 years.
86 years.
Yes. Mark Twain came in with Haley's Comet and went out with Haley's Comet.
How about that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
When was the last time it happened?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, I mean.
I don't know.
Now that we're talking about it.
Don't know.
All right.
It's been in my lifetime, though, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
I don't know that it's been in mine.
Young pup.
It would depend. If it was, I don't remember it. It's not been in the internet age. We would have heard about it.
That's true.
Well,
and if it didn't happen in the internet age, did it really happen?
No.
No. I don't think so.
Let's not even go there. Let's not even go there. Okay.
What else we got going on, fellas?
Well, I don't know. Did we set up the super sectionals for girls 3A and 4A?
We did not.
I think we might mention those because I think Highland's in it.
They will play Lincoln
at
UIS. That'll be 7 o'clock coming up on Monday.
A couple pretty local teams.
Yeah. And then the 4A, I think Edwardsville's in a 4A super.
Well, yeah, the sun did come up today.
Yeah. So.
They're playing Bennett Academy at 7 o'clock Monday at Illinois Wesleyan.
Yeah.
Edwardsville. Good at everything. Impressive. Impressive.
Yeah.
You know, that's what was humorous to me like this year. Like, Metro East has kind of made a little bit of a resurgence here. I mean, they are literally in the shadow of big, massive Edwardsville High School.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, they didn't really have the talent going to Metro East that they have now. But Edwardsville, every single year.
Yeah.
Every single
in every sport.
In the biggest class in the state.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And they are fun to watch. I remember going down years ago and watching like those Edwardsville-Alton games. Or the Edwardsville-East St. Louis games, like when Darius Miles were there.
Packed houses.
Those were some of the most entertaining high school basketball games you would ever see. Unless Walter decided to go four corners.
Yeah.
Nothing like having 3,000 people in a gym, 3-0 Edwardsville, and Edwardsville goes four corners and just holds the ball at midcourt with 6 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Oh, even Edwardsville fans would boo.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike. Let's go. But, hey, effective.
I've only seen, you know, the four-corner thing a couple times over the years.
He doesn't do it as much as he used to, but, man. Yeah.
Well, you saw something this week that on the free throw, right?
I did. I have never seen this, and I'm pretty sure it was Donovan Moore for Hillsborough at Greenville. Shot a foul shot, and it rimmed out and then got wedged between the rim and the backboard.
How does that happen?
I mean, I don't know.
Statistically, that's got to be like a one-in-a-million thing to happen.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of basketball. I've never seen that. Mm. Like, earlier in the game, Hillsborough had a shot that got wedged, but it was a three-pointer that was on a line.
Sure.
Which is normally how it happens. But this was a rim out.
And, you know, you see more of that in girls' basketball because the ball is just a little bit smaller.
Right.
But to have it, a free throw, actually rim out and then get stuck.
Get stuck.
I've seen free throws shot and come off the back flange and bounce and bounce and bounce and bounce and bounce and then stop.
I've seen that
before.
I've seen that, not at high school level. I've seen it on TV. But, yeah, that will happen every once in a while.
Yeah. Weird. That's just freaky.
It is freaky.
Yeah.
At least you know the rim's straight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's flat. It's level. Yeah. I don't know. Should tilt it a little bit, maybe. Prevent that from happening.
Any
in the
kind
future.
Of advantage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Talking about some of the great seniors that will be moving on, of course, Evan Price from Gillespie and David Holden from Greenville both had their careers come to an end in that Greenville regional. But two guys
that could shoot the ball.
And both just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, they are. They were. You know, they were the kind of kids that, and I think Evan Moore from the outside, although he was great at penetrating, but David Holden would you know, if you gave him a half an inch, he was splitting the defense and going right to the basket. So, two fun guys to watch. Terrific.
Yeah.
So,
you think about what Litchfield is losing.
No.
I mean, they're losing. Hillsboro has all their minutes coming
Connor
back.
Simmons
Litchfield
got,
has none of their minutes
went
coming
over
back.
1,000 points, you know, and 1,000-point Cooper Scharf. You know,
didn't get there, but
didn't
well
get
over
there, but
900.
You know,
less
yeah.
than 100
yeah.
away.
So,
Josh Franke got over 1,000 this year. 700-something with Staunton.
Unfortunately, you know, we may not have many teams alive and kicking here in the postseason, but we had fun time with basketball this year.
So we really had some good tight ball games.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. So,
and I think we saw improvement throughout the year from teams, you know, that they got better from the start of the year to the end of the year, which isn't always the case.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
We saw some teams that peaked a little early and kind of fell off, but that always happens.
You know, and 1A Lincoln was losing quite a bit going into next year, and Nokomis is bringing back a lot.
And Lincolnwood was never really the same after the Brian Graham injury there at the Waverly
Holiday
Tournament.
And Brian came back and played here down the stretch, but you know, just they kind of lost their mojo.
He made them go.
Yeah, he did. And they could never, you know, once you and we talk about this in sports about being able to flip the switch, so to speak, and take your game to the next level. You know, that's just not easy to do. It's just
especially
hard
for high
to
school
do.
Kids.
Yeah. So, you know, and they played a lot of games without him. So they had to get used to playing without him. So, and Pawnee did a great job in the second half last night.
And what they won three of the four matchups. So,
Did they win the conference, Pawnee?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, the MSM.
Yeah.
Pretty good sports season for them so far. Boys are winning football game. And
I think their baseball team is going to be pretty darn good, too.
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first year for the Lincolnwood-Morrisonville basketball co-op is in the books.
And yeah.
The baseball co-op did not go through for this year. So the Lancers will still have a team. The Mohawks will still have a team for this year.
Yeah, for this year. The next year, the baseball team will be at Morrisonville. Yeah.
Now, when's the Lincolnwood-Morrisonville baseball game this year? That'll be an interesting affair. That might be on the radio. I have a suspicion that ball game might wind up on the radio.
I don't know. Well, you know, now that we're carrying the Cardinals – well, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Because now that we have all the Cardinal games, it might. They have a lot of early starts in the early part of the season.
Yeah.
So.
And Morrisonville will participate in the county tournament next year, starting next season.
And they'll actually host it in 4 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good deal.
Four teams.
It's at Litchfield this year.
Yeah.
Litchfield this year, Hillsborough next year, or Nokomis next year?
Hillsborough next year, okay. I think. Yeah. So. We've actually got information on it, and I've got it posted on my wall so we know where to find it. Because usually I file it away, and I'm going, okay, where in the heck did I put this? I go, well, it's under the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament folder. Of course, it's not in there. I've got everything else in there, but I don't have that in there. So, anyway. Yeah.
We wish Bobby Allen good luck as first year at the helm of the Topper Baseball Club.
And, you know, and in spite of the fact that we lost a lot of good seniors, we still have a lot of great basketball players coming back next year. And I think we're, you know, anticipating another good season. So, and they'll work hard during the summertime.
That's right. So. What do you always say that? Was it Denny Hill would always say come back from the state tournament?
Oh,
saddest day of the year.
Saddest day of the year.
To me, this is always the saddest day of the year for me when our local teams are done. When I don't get to broadcast any more games, that's a sad day.
It's because we enjoy doing that. And by the way, we are totally spoiled by our athletic directors and our coaches and the fans. And, you know, we get treated like royalty, and we appreciate it. And our sponsors are, you know, come aboard to make the broadcast possible. So thank you so much. So
this was the last basketball season for Ed Roundcount and Don Gersh at Litchfield.
Yeah, two guys who have been terrific over the years.
New ADs at Litchfield.
And I told them both we got to get them in here during the summer for our summer series and get their thoughts on their long tenure.
And maybe they'll tell a story or two about each other.
Sure.
They probably got one or two, don't they?
I bet they got more than one or two. I would think probably that being AD, one of the most frustrating things would be finding replacement officials for spring sports.
Oh, boy, yes.
That's got to be a hair-pulling type situation.
So. I'd tell you, and they also had very good careers as head coaches.
Yes, they did. Terrific careers as head coaches. Yes. So, we're going to miss him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good guys.
Very good guys.
Good guys, yeah.
Yeah, talk about treating us good whenever we come into a place.
Oh, yeah. Back when I was in the hospital, I was trying to explain to some of the doctors how we operate here and how we follow several different teams. And it's, and, you know, we just walk into the gym like it's our office. And they're going, they couldn't grasp that situation. They just had no concept, you know, that small high schools and this is what we do. So.
Well, the Nashville radio station was down at Greenville all week. They did all the games, even when Nashville wasn't playing. And so I was telling them, like, no, we cover probably at least 10 teams. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Which is a huge advantage for us because I think it gives us the ability to kind of take a look at the whole area and see how everybody is. I think it gives us a good perspective on sports, local sports. Yeah. So, and, yes, we will have some baseball and softball broadcasts coming up 1st of April.
Yeah. 1st of April, right around the corner.
Right around the corner. It'll be here before we know
That's right. So. Good luck to Calhoun today playing in the 1A state championship game against Central A&M. And that's going to be a heck of a 1A basketball game. That could be a 2A championship, and no one would bat an eye.
Mm-hmm. You're right there. You're right. Those guys are, they've played so many 2A teams and some 3A teams and have been hugely successful against them. So.
Calhoun's only lost two games all year. One of them was the Southwestern. I'm not sure who the other one was for Calhoun, but it was not a 1A school.
Yeah. So, and you know, very seldom does somebody go undefeated during the regular season.
That just never happens.
No. But this is going to be a grand battle at about 1:45 or whatever.
Battle of styles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Size versus guard play and defense.
And, you know, Central A&M goes in, and their thought is, hey, you're going to have to rip it away from us. And Calhoun says, well, we've been here all right. We're comfortable with it, and it's our turn.
The thing about Calhoun and the Ballmans is, like, basketball is not even their best sport. Grace Ballman's going to Kentucky to be a pitcher.
Yeah.
I think Emma Ballman's going to Carbondale to play volleyball.
Yeah.
That's not even their best sport. And they're that good.
Yeah.
That's just how good of athletes the Ballmans are. They come from a long line of Ballmans.
Yes. Well, Ballmans and more Ballmans.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Gets confusing.
Yeah, it does.
But one thing's consistent. They're all 6'2", and they're all really good at every sport they play. Really good. Good luck to them today in the 1A state final. We're out of time here on Sports Saturday. For Tito, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.